Hello and welcome you to the broadcast today. My name is Stephanie Blondie Gregory, and I know today if you'll stay tuned, God's Word will bless your hearts and you can learn from God's Word. Today the topic of my message is Hell 101. Today I want to tell you some basic truths and foundations about hell that a lot of people don't know and don't understand about. As I travel and go across this country, I'm astounded at the people that no longer preach or believe in hell. But let me tell you, hell is real, and that's what I want to preach on today. But first, I'd like to pray for you. Lord, your word is faithful and true. You sent your blessed Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for our sins and our iniquities. He shed his blood on Calvary, that whosoever believeth on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Give us that life through Jesus Christ, we pray. Help people realize that they must be born again. And Father, it is not your will that any man perish, but you want us to all to come unto salvation and repentance. And that, Lord, you didn't come to condemn us, but you came to give us life and give it more abundantly. God, help us to realize that how much you love us, how much you care for us, and that it is your will that we have a home in heaven throughout eternity, and we have a blessed life here on earth. God, grant revelation knowledge to the listeners today, and I ask specifically for souls from my hire, in Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, I want to read out of the book of Luke, chapter 16, starting with verse 19. This is talking about two men that died. There was a rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. And he said, I pray thee that, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went from them from the dead, they might repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one be rose from the dead. In this portion of Scripture, we're told about two men, a rich man and a poor man, but they both died. And that's telling us whether you're rich or poor, 100% of us, those of you that are listening, myself as well, one day we're going to die. This portion of Scripture also tells us that there is a eternity that we're going to go to. One eternity is an eternity in torment we call hell. Another place referred here is Abraham's bosom, which is we call heaven now. Heaven is throughout eternity. And in heaven and in hell, you have your full senses. You remember, you taste, you feel, you sense, you desire. And the rich man was tormented in hell. He was in torment. He was thirsty. He was begging for just a drop of water to ease his pain. And Lazarus was being comforted in the bosom of Abraham. But let me tell you something about this. The rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. The rich man went to hell because, at the bottom of this verses that I read, is he refused to receive God's word. The rich man wanted Lazarus to go back to his brethren back at his home and warn them not to come there. But Abraham told him, says, listen, if they won't hear the word of God, they won't even hear one that rose from the dead. And that's, I think about Jesus. He rose from the dead, but still yet people won't receive it. People won't hear it. But let me tell you, we need to take heed to God's word because God's word is true. Here's something else we have to realize. Lazarus did not go to heaven because he was good or because he suffered or because he had a hard life. He, too, had to make God's word true in his life and receive God's word. The same with us. When you stand before God, it's not going to be if you're rich or if you're poor or if you had a good life or a bad life. It's what did you do with the word of God. The word became flesh and dwelt among men, speaking of Jesus Christ. And that is what you're going to be asked a question. What did you do with the word of God? What did you do with Jesus? And we have to realize that one day we're all going to face eternity. And you've already decided where you're going to spend eternity. That's one thing you can't be undecided about today. You either have already chose Jesus as your Savior and your eternity is going to be in heaven. Or either you've rejected the Son of God and your eternity is going to be in hell. But you've already chose. And it's your decision. Nobody made it for you. You have chose that on your own. Now, there's some things I want to say before I start listing about Hell 101. First off, I want to tell you, we live in what we think is a very smart society. We think we're very smart in this society that we now live in. We have technology like we've never had before. We have things that years back, if somebody told you would come to pass, we would call them crazy and have them put away. But we have a smart society. And you know, it's amazing that I got a new cell phone and some things about it I didn't know about. And this young kid, I gave it to that kid, and in a matter of moments, they had it all worked out, figured out. And it's amazing to me how this smart society can download phones and computers and all this iPods and all this stuff that is just amazing to me. They can download all these things, but this smart society is amazing to me of how many people I run up on can't even know how to load a wash machine. Isn't that amazing about this smart society that we now live in? Something else about this smart society that we live in. They know all the names of the drugs that are on the streets. They can tell you the up they give them, the down they give them, the side effects, what you got to have, and all the names of the drugs. They can name it all. They can list them all. But it is amazing to me that they can't even name two of the disciples of Jesus Christ. And there's something else about this smart society that we now live in. We live in a society that's so smart today they can tell you where all the crack houses are, but they cannot tell you where none of the job sites are. That is totally amazing to me. How about you? Can anybody say amen on that? It is amazing to me that they know all the smart society that we live in. They know all the lyrics of the rap songs, and they can understand all the words of the rap songs, but they cannot remember a hymn, and they cannot say they cannot understand the Bible. Isn't that amazing about this smart society that we now have? It is amazing to me that the smart society that we have, they can give signs to one another with their hands, and they know what they mean. Each other knows what they mean. They give signs. They have gang signs. They have different signs. And these signs, they know how to give the signs to communicate with one another. They know how to give signs. To me, that's amazing of the smart society that we live in. They know how to give signs. But it is totally amazing to me they do not know how to give their babies their name. Something else that's really amazing to me about the smart society that we live in. They're talking about their homies. They're my homies. I don't know if I fully understand that terminology like I should, but how can you call somebody a homie that doesn't even own a home? And if they are in a home, it's their mommy and daddy's home. Or if they are in a home, somebody else is working to pay for it, to keep them in it. That, to me, is totally amazing about this smart society that we now live in. The smart society that we now live in, they know how to huff, snort, shoot up, but you know what? They don't know how to iron a shirt, sew on a button, or even hem a dress. Very, very smart, wouldn't you say? But let me tell you, some things we need to be really smart on, and one of the main things is hell. We need to be smart on that. And I want to give you some facts about hell. First off, it's not God's will that you go to hell. God is not His will. He has made provisions for you not to go to hell. See, there's three R's that you need to know. Man is ruined because of the Adamic nature that come from Adam in the Garden of Eden when he sinned against God. God has a remedy for that ruined condition, and that remedy is Jesus Christ, who shed His blood on Calvary, that if you would receive Him, you would not go to hell. Number three, the third R, is respond. God has a remedy. Man is ruined, but God has a remedy, but we must respond to God's remedy, Jesus Christ. And if you fail to respond to the remedy, which is Jesus, that will send your soul to hell. Now, I've heard all my life that hell is paved with good intentions, but I totally disagree with that. Hell is paved with excuses. I'm too old. I'm too young. I want to live a little. I'll have to cut my hair. I'll lose my friends. I'll have to dress different. What excuse is there you could give that will cause your soul to go into hell? Something else you need to know about hell. Hell has a cover charge. Some of y'all go to nightclubs. You know what a cover charge is. And the cover charge to get into hell is going to cost you your soul. You're going to give up your soul throughout eternity. And let me tell you something else about the eternal home that you've chosen. You've either chosen an eternal home with Jesus Christ by making Him your Lord and Savior, which is called heaven, or either you have chosen hell, a cell in hell, and Satan is going to be your roomie. That's a choice that you have already made. And let me tell you something else. There's something else you need to know. There's going to be no class action suits in hell. Hell is not a prejudiced place. I bet some of y'all didn't know that. Rich people are going to be entering hell. Poor people are going to be entering into hell. Middle class people will be entering into hell. Whites will be entering into hell. Blacks will be entering into hell. Red, yellow, green, I don't care what color, nationality you are. If you don't know Jesus, you're going to be accepted into hell. And there's no gender differences in hell. Male, female, or if you haven't decided what you want to be, you'll be welcome into hell. And let me tell you something else about hell. Just because you're sitting on a church pew, just because you have your name on the roll, don't mean you're going to heaven. If you've not accepted Jesus Christ and you can't say that you've been born again, I don't care what church your mom and daddy and your grandparents and your great-grandparents and you attend, if you're not born again, you're going to hell. There'll be Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Catholic. It makes no difference what denomination. Free Will Baptist, Church of Brethren, I could go on and on. If you're not been born again, you're going to go straight into hell. Something else. There's no marriage status in hell. Married people, single people, widowed people, divorced people, and people that are same-sex marriage. It makes no difference. It's going to be no, so you can't come in, you can't come in. No. If you've not accepted Jesus Christ, I don't care what that list is or which one you come under, if you've not been born again, hell is going to be your place throughout eternity. Let me tell you something else about hell. It's family-orientated. I bet you didn't know that. Mamas will be in hell. There'll be daddies in hell. There'll be brothers, sisters, grandma, grandpas, aunties, uncles, cousins. It makes no difference. If you're not born again, I don't care who you are or what you are here, you're going into hell. Hell is a time of real change. I want you to realize that. And of a friendship list in hell, there's going to be a real change in your friendship list in hell. I've heard a lot of people say they want to party down with their friends in hell. Well, I've got bad news for you. You're not going to meet up with your old friends in hell. You're going to have a new friendship list in hell. And your new friends in hell are called demons. And let me tell you, a hot time in the town tonight is going to take on a whole new meaning for you. Now, there's a question that's asked. It says, what if I die and I can't find my way to hell? Don't worry, your new friends, the demons, are going to escort you right into a place called torment. See, if you're born again, washed in the blood, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You go into the presence of Jesus Christ. But if you die right now and you're not born again, you go directly into a place called torment, and you'll face the demons face to face. Because the Bible tells us it's appointed once to man to die, and after that the judgment. But it's your decision where you're going to spend eternity. It's your choosing. Now, there's some questions asked about hell. One of them is, when I die, how soon will it take me to arrive in hell? By the time the doctor has pronounced you dead and filled out your death certificate, you will already be in hell. Before they place you in your coffin and dress you in your shroud, you will already be in hell. Before your family can discuss how wonderful you were and who will get your personal belongings, you will already be in hell. And let me tell you something else about hell. You're going to get the red carpet treatment when you get there. It's called hellfire and brimstone. And there's something else that you probably didn't know. There's a theme song of hell. The theme song of hell is this: I did it my way. I did it my way. If you're one of those that are singing that song and you live your life by that, I did it my way, you're going straight into the pit of hell. You've got to do it God's way. It's not my way. It's not your way. It's got to be God's way. It has to be God's way. It has to be God's way. And don't you just hate moving days? But let me tell you something. In hell, you won't have to worry about that. While the preacher is standing over your coffin preaching you into heaven, or your family lights candles for you, don't worry. You're not going to move, because let me tell you something. There are no exit signs in hell. There are no exit signs in hell. We can't pray you out. They can't light your way out. And they can't preach you out of hell. Once you enter there, you're there throughout eternity. There's no coming out. And don't you hate to get all dressed up and nowhere to go? Well, in hell, that one will not be your problem. See, there's no water parks in hell, because, you know, there's no water in hell. There are no amusement parks in hell. You won't be going there. You see, you're going to be the demon's amusement. There's no shopping malls in hell where you'll be buying you some new clothes, because your burning flesh will not need any new clothes. And you will not be going to the hospital, because there will be no place and no remedy and no relief for the pain that you will be in throughout eternity. Hell is real, and hell is for eternity. Do not gamble with your soul. Now, because of the choices that man has made today, and that choice is leaving God out of our society, out of our schools, out of our courthouses, don't want God in anything in our country anymore. Because man has chose to leave God out, there is a need to know for information such as never known before. There's a new filtration of new knowledge that people got to know more now than they ever have before. One of the first things that they got to know more now than ever before, because they've left God out, is where the best lawyers are. Because, you see, they have done away with God's moral standard of living for man. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not commit a murder. Do not bear false witness. Don't covet. We have thrown them out. So now we've got to find where the best lawyers are. We also, because they've left God out and they don't want God, they got to find out where the best rehabilitation centers are. Because they've rejected God, they got to look for somewhere else to get delivered off of what they're on. They got to know how to put money on jail cards for the kids, so they won't have to eat bologna sandwiches and drink Kool-Aid for the rest of their time of imprisonment. Also, they're going to have to know more about court dates, sentencing, parole. And when you get out of prison, there's something that you're going to have to know how to spell when you go looking for a job, and that's felon. And let me tell you, that's going to have a great effect on you. We got a new knowledge in our country today because you've left God out. It's a dangerous thing to leave God out for an individual, and most definitely for a country. And let me tell you something. Today, the parents don't teach their children how to pray. They don't teach them how to live according to God's law. They can't get them to pull up their pants. They don't even know how to tie a tie. They don't know how to put on a suit. But let me tell you what the kids do know. They know their way to the tattoo parlors because they followed you there. Let me tell you, some people I see, they look like walking billboards. They have took things and written over their body. But let me tell you something. You've left out the main things. You need to know how to pray. You need to know how to go to God's house. You need to teach your children about God's way. You need to teach them the good things to keep their souls out of hell. And let me tell you something else. There's a VIP section in hell. There's going to be special treatment for the preachers that have stood behind the pulpits and refused to preach the whole gospel to man. There's going to be a special place in hell for preachers that would not preach the whole counsel of God and who have tickled people's ears to get their money and their approval and their standing and have left God's word out. Preacher, beware. Make sure that you preach the full and whole counsel of God. Also, for these so-called church members who have caused trouble and strife and gossip in church and hurt people and caused little ones to fall by the side, the Bible says it'd be better for you to be in the middle of the ocean than a millstone tied around your neck to offend one of God's little ones. Be careful how you carry on and act in church. And there's another VIP section that's going to have a special place in hell, and that's for drug pushers. Those that have destroyed the lives of families and children, destroyed their minds, destroyed their health, and destroyed their being. God's going to hold you special accounted for selling drugs to the innocent on the street. God help you is all I can say. See, drugs is Satan's greatest tool of today because it alters man's mind, and he can infiltrate and put trash in it when the mind is altered. Satan's motto of the generation today is this: get high so you can fry. And I want you to remember that. Another VIP section in hell, a special place in hell, is going to be those who have murdered and hurt innocent children and harmed them and done evil things to them. God help you. God help you. God help you. Also, for the ungodly politicians, professors, leaders, presidents, people in authority that have led people astray from God's word and God's teaching, you're going to be held accountable for how you've led the people. And let me tell you something else. Your sail is going to be lined. It's going to be flowing with the blood of the souls that you caused to go to hell. Their blood will never fade nor leave your sail and will cry out against you throughout eternity. Now, I want to go through what if. I'm asked this question a whole lot. What if? What if there is no God? What if there is no hell? What if there is no heaven? What if there is no Satan? What if the Bible is a myth? What if Jesus is a fake? What if you really came from a monkey? What if the Big Bang Theory was really right? What if politicians don't lie? And what if Santa Claus really comes down the chimney? What if? What if? What if? What if? What if? I'm going to answer that with a sign that I saw that was written on a bus in England in big, bold letters. It said this: live, God is dead. Live any way you want to. The sign read like this: God is dead. Live any way you want to. But down under it, it said, but pray that you're right. I was going through Oklahoma, and I passed by a casino, a gambling casino on the side of the freeway. And on the other side of the freeway, somebody had put a sign up and said, don't gamble with your soul. That's something I want to tell you right now. Those of you that have come out with a what if theory, what if, what if, what if you're wrong and what if God's right? You're gambling with your soul. Eternity is for real. Eternity is facing you. Eternity is facing me. You and I have got to make our decision, our election sure. We got to know that you must be born again. You must know where you're going to spend eternity. Yes, God's word is true. Yes, Jesus is real. Yes, he's coming back. Yes, he was born of a virgin. Yes, he shed his blood on Calvary that our sins could be forgiven. Yes, the gospel is true. And yes, he wants to save your soul from hell, and he wants to give you a home in heaven. The Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a man or woman that hasn't sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also says this: but God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved you so much, knowing even all the bad things that you've done, he still loves you so much, he died for you. The Bible also tells us this: for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Bible also tells us this, that if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10. God has made provisions for us. God has made a way for us. God has given us a way of escape, this place called hell. But you must receive His word. You must accept Jesus as your Savior. See, if you go to hell, it's by your own choosing. You walk over all the greatest love on the universe, and that is the love of God, for God so loved the world. You see, you can sum the Bible up in 4 words from Genesis to Revelation. You can sum the whole Bible up in 4 words, and that is Jesus died for me. That's the greatest love story that's ever been told. Jesus died for me. He died for you so you could have a blessed life here and live with Him throughout eternity. It was not designed that you go to hell. If you go to hell, it means eternal separation from your God throughout eternity. No hope of salvation. You'll never see the light of day again. You'll never be with your family ever again. You'll never see the roses bloom. You'll never hear the birds sing. You'll never hold a newborn baby. You'll never see another sunrise. You'll never feel the rain on your face. You'll never feel God's word and His touch of conviction and mercy and love in your life. Oh, hell is real. Hell is a real place. And today, with all sincerity and all love in my heart, I beg of you to receive Jesus Christ while you still have time. You see, none of us are promised another breath. While you still can think, while you still can move, while you still have life about you, take time now. The greatest decision that you'll ever make is if you've made Jesus your Savior. You must be born again. And let me tell you something. As the rich man died and lifted up his eyes in torment, he regretted the way he lived throughout eternity. Do not be like that man who was sent into hell that regretted the way he lived all the days of his life. And let me tell you something else. It's a bad thing for you to go into hell, but it's even worse for you to take somebody else with you. There are people watching your lives. They're patterning their lives after you. How are you living, and where are you leading them to, heaven or hell? The choice is yours today. You must be born again. You must accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Take time to pray. Take time to get on your knees. Talk to God. You can talk to Him easier than you can anybody else. Just tell Him in your heart and ask Him to come in and to be your Lord and Savior that you want to receive Jesus. Let me pray with you. Pray this sinner's prayer with me. God, I'm a sinner, but I want to be saved. Forgive me of all my sins. This day I make Jesus my Lord and Savior. This day I choose to be born again. Forgive me. Write my name in glory and help me to live for you all the days of my life and give me a home in heaven throughout eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for listening, and God bless you this day. Remember, ye must be born again.